to welcome, please give her a round of applause, Lucinda. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you, Martin. I'm very happy but nervous, even though I've spoken before, and some of you may have heard my experience before, but tonight I'm nervous. I don't know why. Maybe I'm going to give you some new information that I've held back for many years. Being an experiencer is, it's very old, and I had mine in 1953, about that time in my life. We decided, my cousin, sisters, we decided we were going to go swimming in this swimming pool. And I was a very good swimmer, always have been, lived in California, body surfed with my brother in the ocean. People would come up and tell us, you kids are too small to be out here by yourself and swimming in the ocean. Well, we were like fish, okay? So back to my experience.
We walked quite a ways to this swimming pool, and when we went in there, I noticed the sign said, no lifeguard on duty. Well, I kind of chuckled to myself, never do that, because it said, lifeguard not on duty. Okay? Well, I said to myself, I'm a pretty good swimmer, you know, we don't need one. So we were playing, swimming around in the shallow end. Then we went to the deep end.
We were swimming around there. I said, let's race to the other side, side to side, not length to length. And they said, oh, Lucinda, you're too good of a swimmer. You'll beat us all the time. I said, I'll tell you what. I will make a deal with you. You go swim, and when you get halfway, then I'll do the butterfly. And I don't know if you know what a butterfly swim is, but, you know, it's take your arms like this, grab water, kick your feet. It's you look boink, boink, like a dolphin almost. Anyway, so I said, I'll do that. And they said, okay. So they started swimming across. They got halfway, and I started doing my dolphin thing, you know, butterfly. And I got in the middle, and I got cramp in one of my calves. And I knew that if you rub your calf, I'm going through the thing. If you rub your calf, you can get rid of the cramp. So I worked on that, and then my other leg calf got it, and I worked on that. We were just trading back and forth, and then my thighs got cramps. So I had four cramps going. I was trying to tell them that I got cramps, I can't swim, and they were trying to reach out for me, and I was trying to reach out for them, and it seemed like we were miles apart. I just kept going down and up, and finally I went down, and I was under the water. And I had a deep breath before I went under, and I knew that I was going to die. I'm reliving it if you see me doing something strange. I started turning in like a circle, and I gave up. And when I did that, I just went like to a soft, peaceful sleep. I felt my spirit actually pull out of my body. I felt it. When I got on to the other side, I opened my eyes and I said, now, from this point on, everything is done mentally. You speak with someone mentally, communicate. That's the way it is on the other side. You don't need your mouth. You need your ears. Maybe we don't have them on the other side. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, I looked down and I saw my body floating in the water. And I said, that's me down there. What am I doing down there when I'm up here? And I could care less. I'm dead, but I'm alive. So I look to my left, and I see a light. Now, I can't tell you if I was in the dark if it was a dark hallway or not. All I know is that there was a light distant from me, and it looked like it was about this tall or this round. And I was like a homing pigeon. I knew where I had to go. And I whipped down that alley like you wouldn't believe. And I was in the light. And when I got there, I was breathless at the beauty. Everything was white and crystal and sparkly. And oh, the feeling I got was, you know, peacefulness. I didn't hurt anymore. There was either singing or music, and it was marvelous to my ears, and I just relished in it. It was so wonderful. Then this nasty voice, I'm kidding, someone told me I had to go back. That's the nasty part. I did not want to go back. All I knew of was pain. I was an abusive father. That's the kind of home I came from. But I thought everybody lived that way. Anyway, it was so wonderful and glorious. And this voice said, you have to go back. And I told the voice mentally, I don't want to go back. And I knew it was a he. And he said, you have to go back. And I told him again, I don't want to go back. And he says, you have to go back. Well, not far from where I was standing, I knew just beyond, it was almost like a cloud, but it wasn't. It's hard to explain. And I'm still in this glorious light. And I thought, if I go through there, I know I don't have to come back. So I lunged forward, and I was put back in my body, going through horrible pain of cramps, choking, gasping for air. I mean, can you imagine? Just hold your breath until you can't, you have to gasp for air, and it's a mouthful of water. It's an awful feeling. So I come up choking, you know. Two guys had walked in, and everybody, I guess, was screaming, she's drowning, she's drowning. They jumped in after me. And they pulled me over to the side of the pool and pulled me out. And I really didn't know what was going on. What I experienced was not of this world. Never heard, never seen anything like this. And so I was very quiet. I didn't tell anybody for several months. I told my mother. Wrong thing to do. Should have kept my mouth shut. But I was a young girl. I didn't know what happened. And I was confused. And I thought she had the answer. And so she told me, when I just told her just a portion of what happened, she says, Lucinda, don't you ever tell anybody that, ever. Back then, it was not an acceptable thing to talk about. So I went into my shell, kept it for a secret for a long time. Back then, I wish it never happened. It was a curse. I started having dreams of the future. I was married at this time, and my husband took me to a shrink. Sorry if any of you are shrinks. He told me, I told him of events that would happen, and they were on the news, and I'd go to him and I said, okay, see, I told you it happened, and it happened. Now I know where these people are. I know how they're alive. He said, no, it's just a coincidence. Every time I'd go back to him, tell him what happened prior, he would always come back with, oh, coincidence. You know, who wants that word, coincidence? How many coincidences can a person have? I'm beginning to think he's a nutso, not me. So different things happened in my life. I had many dreams that have come true. I've had spirits from the other side come and talk to me and tell me what their needs are. Like my grandmother, she came to me. The only person that I ever knew love from was my grandmother and my aunt. They were the only ones. And I lived with them for, I was about 3 years old until I was about five. That was the only affection I ever got. My mother, at the time of my NDE, was my stepmother. She wasn't my biological mother. My biological mother couldn't raise my brother or I. So, and my father was going to give us up to adoption. My brother was going to my uncle, and I was going to go to my aunt. I found all this out later. She told me not to ever speak of it again, and I never did. We had a family reunion, and I heard, I was sitting kind of in the dark in a corner, and I heard my mother saying, "Lucinda's always been strange. She's a strange little kid. I don't understand her." And her sister said, "I know. She's just weird. You don't know what she's talking about." You're right, because I don't know what I'm talking about or asking, because I don't know the meaning. I don't know where I've been. I don't know what happened. So that really crushed me. So you can kind of tell a little bit about how you grow up and no one believes you in what has happened to you. When actually, to me back then, it was a curse. My first divorce because of my NDE. It was very, very hard to deal with. My grandmother, when she came to me, she went like this, "We are waiting." And I'm going, "All right." And all these faces I saw. And I wake up the next day and I go, "Oh, no, I know what she wants, and this is not what I want to do." It was family history, not my forte. So anyway, took me a couple of years, you know, before I got to the problem. But a little while after that, before I got to my business, I felt spiritual. All my life, I've seen auras of people. And I thought everybody saw auras. And when I got to this one person that had come and talked to us, I sat there and I was filled with this spirit. "Oh, this is wonderful." I said, "Do you know your aura is really big?" And he said, "My what?" I said, "Your aura. Don't you see auras?" And he looked at me and he says, "No." That was when I found out that I was, again, a weirdo. Because I had a special gift, but what do you do with it? So, you know, I can look across and see people's auras and just another part of you. I felt that it was a blessing and I kept my mouth shut for a long time. Another incident that's happened was, told you I could dream about future and stuff like that. Well, I dreamt my father and my mother went to Europe to see my brother, if you can follow that, and his son went with my parents to see his father. And I had a dream. And in this one night, I had it three times. Anything to me that happens three times is telling me this is true. This will happen. So you got 3, 6. The Lord made the world in what? 6 days. Seventh day you rested. There's 12 months in a year. You start working it up and you're going to start seeing some things, some figures start matching up. Babies, 9 months. Yep, keep going. So I went to sleep one night and three times I had this dream. And right now I'm going to be reliving this dream again. I was with my stepmother, and we were looking over a rail. And I looked down. No, my mother wasn't with me then. My mother was walking my nephew, her grandson, to a spot while I was looking over a rail. And she took him, and he had a little suitcase. She said, "You wait here. Someone will come for you." And he said, "I want you to go with me." And she says, "I can't go with you. You have to do this alone. Just wait here." And then my mother was up by me, looking over the banister. Two men appeared and took my nephew away. That dream happened to me three times that night, and I knew my nephew was going to die. He was 12 years old, and we were very close. Anyway, they took him. I had done of the history family, some of it. I don't think you ever finish. And so I was doing some of it before he died. The day that I found out, I knew it was for him. Everybody was having a big panic. He's in Europe. How are we going to get his body here? Blah, blah, blah. Just like it would be for you if it happened to you. At the funeral, people couldn't understand why I wasn't falling apart because they knew how close we were. But I understood. It was his time to go. There was nothing I could do about it. And I accepted it. The day of his funeral, I was hearing his voice, and I knew he was in the living room. And I told my family, I says, "Donnie's in the living room. He hasn't gone with his body yet. Something's wrong." Later on, he came to me, and I'd hear his voice. I don't care if I was in the shower or sleeping or, you know, whatever I was, wherever I was. He would whisper into my mind, "I'm not part of the family. I'm not part of the family." And I go, "Oh, no. I know what it means." My mother had his work done. I'm still talking about my stepmom. She was my mother. She helped me grow. And I told her, "Donnie, something's wrong. Donnie isn't part of the family. Did you get his work done? I'm LDS. Did you get him sealed?" And she said, "Yes, I did." About the fourth time I asked her again, because he kept coming to me, she said, now, she really got mad at me. "Lucinda, understand this. His work's been done. Leave me alone. I don't want to ever hear you talk about this again." I said, "Okay." But he still came bug me. I said, "Mom, did you ever get a slip of paper that told you that it had been done?" And she says, "I'm sure I did." I said, "Mom, you better look for it." And the next thing I know, I get a phone call from my mother, and guess what she says? "His work has been lost in the computers. It hasn't been done." So she got it done. He never came to me again. Too bad. We had good conversations. When I got the rest of the family done, my grandmother came back to me, and I was asleep, and our spirits rejoiced. She hugged me, and I hugged her. And we were in a glorious place because I had done what she asked. Mind you, I was raised Catholic, pretty much. I had my, well, am I or aren't I, you know? Am I Catholic or am I LDS? But anyway, I took the other road. I have nothing against the Catholic religion. Every religion is worth having as long as it believes in our Father in heaven, our God. I've had evil spirits come, laid upon my chest. I was fearful for my life, fearful for my spirit, and I thought I was going to die a horrible death. And I started to pray, and they left. So if ever you get a horrible feeling like you're going to die, you better pray. Saved me. Now I'm going to tell you a very sacred thing for me, and I'm telling you for your own spiritual benefit. You can take it for what you want, okay? I fell asleep one night. It was a glorious night. I felt good. I felt lifted. Have you ever had that feeling like, oh man, this is wonderful. Oh, I feel so wonderful. You feel like you could jump out of your skin, you know, and just go float through the air. I felt that way that night. In actuality, sometimes your spirit will leave your body when you are sleeping. I know that may be hard for you to understand, but sometimes when you're dreaming that you're flying or floating, you really are. This particular night, I felt myself walking on marble plateau, and it had stairs, and my daughter was behind me. And she says, wait, Mom. And I said, hurry, Rhonda, hurry, or we're going to miss it. And she fell behind, and I kept going ahead. And I got a headache, and I go, oh, my head, it hurts. And a voice came into mine and said, it will pass. And so I got up with this headache, and I still kept walking. And then the pain struck even harder, and I fell to my knees, and I said, the pain is unbearable. And the voice again said, it will pass. Third time. Pain came on me so hard, I fell on my knees and my hands and my head, and I held my head, and I was just saying, pain, the pain, it hurts. And I could see a light. The guy said again, it will pass. And I opened my eyes, and I saw a light coming from stairs with the glory of God. It was unbelievable light. He was unbelievable. I was on my knees, and he said, Lucinda, and I looked up into a face of love. I looked up, and there was a beam of light that was glorious. Nothing on this earth could ever be that bright and beautiful. He took me by the hands and raised me up. I wanted to be part of him. I wanted to be in him. I wanted this glory that he carried and emulated to me. I wanted that so bad that I would have done anything. But you know what? He says, if they repent, great shall be their glory, and all that they have shall be theirs. All that I have shall be theirs. I got up with them, and we walked on up to a knoll, and there were two roads. And he said, which road should we take? I said, and I'm thinking to myself, I know that one is like Sodom and Gomorrah, and that one is just plain. Nothing exciting like over here. And he said, shall we take this road? And I immediately said, no. No, I said yes, and then I said no. I'm sorry. I said yes, and then I said no. And he replied again, if they repent, all that I have shall be theirs. And he says, I didn't want you to be embarrassed. No, I didn't want to be embarrassed. He says, this is true, for these are my children, and I know what they do. So he took me over to this little dusty road. We went down. And he told me things. And these things have come to pass, which I, part of it is, I dare not say. I have some power of healing. I have other powers as well. I don't call them powers, I call them gifts. Because I believe that my God has given me these special gifts. And I'm so thankful because I know who I am now. And this Ions meeting I saw on the news, and they were at the old Cottonwood Hospital in the basement. And I went there so excited. And I saw Bill Martin and Arvel Gibson on TV, I believe. And I rushed down there, and I got in there, and I was so excited. And I heard some of these people. I felt my world. I knew that this was my place, and my questions could be answered. And they were. And I've seen this Ions grow from just a few into a multi. And I am so grateful that I have been able to find my spiritual answers. Everyone has them differently. And I've shared mine with you. And I am truly, truly grateful for your patience. And I hope that I have answered some of your questions that you might have questions about afterlife. There is life after death. And the one thing, the things that my God told me to was, I was to love everyone. I was to forgive everyone. I had been almost murdered twice. One was someone snuck into our house and put a knife at my ribs because he wanted sex. I was saved from that. The other was one of my husbands had thrown gasoline at me across an open fire. I had been raped by a friend, by a police officer, and by one of my husbands. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things that we have to learn in this world. And I have forgiven them. I have no animosity. This is a learning place. This earth is a learning place to get us ready for what is in the next. And that's it. That's a lot of stuff. Anyone asleep? Woke up? Thank you. Yeah, if I can't answer them, I'll tell you.
Do you still have dreams?
Yes, I do.
Do you still see auras? Can you see auras here, for instance, tonight, of the people sitting here?
Yeah, I can still see auras.
Would you describe them? Are they colored? Are they?
Yeah, they have certain colors. They surround the body. But most of the time you see them around the head. You know, it's easier that way.
During your experience at the swimming pool and you left this earth and you encounter this individual, this male voice, and he told you apparently more than once, you must go back, you must return.
Yep.
And you didn't want to do that
for
obvious reasons. Did you not sense that you had your agency or choice, or was it just you knew you didn't have choice and you were to obey this dictate from this individual?
Hey, I made a dash for that hole in the wall.
Okay.
And he sent me back, so I don't think I had an agency. He had some work for me to do. Maybe it's to come here and share this with you. I don't know, but I do the best I can.
Did you resent that? Did you feel, I mean, did you go with it because you knew it was the right thing, or did you do it out of?
Well, you know, after I look at it, I would have liked to have stayed. How would you feel?
I'd still be arguing.
Yeah. And I had no choice. He had wanted me to do something else.
You see that you dream. First of all, we'd like to thank you. You've just been an inspiration to all of us. So,
Thank you very much.
We know why you were sent back. We all appreciate that. You say that you dream dreams, and in studying about the Mayan calendar, there have been some pretty dramatic forecasting and prophecies coming around the corner. We're in 2011, and we're going to be turning that corner real soon. Do you see anything?
You know, I am not going to prophesy or speculate. Nope, that's going to be up to each individual. Hard times are getting hard. They'll get harder.
So we need to start. We need to start preparing, because how long will it be hard, and in what ways will it be hard?
You're trying to put me in a corner.
The near-death experience, like I said, is individual in nature. And some people have certain aspects of their experience which may provide information, may provide, as Lucinda said, the ability to heal or whatever. Not everybody has these we try to be respectful of their experience, and we really try to honor our commitment as an organization, which is that we, for the lack of a better term, don't try to get into prophecies, fear-mongering, which information that people have in their experience, like I said, is information which is unique and special to them. It's not something that, you know, we try to put out. We've had problems in the past when information has been misconstrued, not intentionally, but that information has led people to be frightened. If you want to talk to Lucinda on an individual basis, please feel free to do so. But, you know, we just can't really go down that road here, and I hope you understand why.
Okay, so were you psychic before you drowned? Did you have psychic experience before?
No.
Okay. After your psychic experience, or after your near-death experience, did you experience heightened anxiety or panic attacks?
Yeah, I'm still on anxiety pills.
Okay. So it doesn't go away.
No. No, it does not.
Continuing in that line of thoughts, so would you say that the NDE didn't really change your life? It just added another factor? You already saw auras before the NDE, is that right?
No.
Oh, that wasn't until after. So let me ask you, I tend to whine about things, and I know you talk about the gifts that you have now,
mm-hmm.
and did you always see them as gifts? I could picture myself going, oh, this is nice, but this is so hard, and I don't want to do it.
What's that?
Any of these gifts when, you know, you know things, or you talk to people, and you mentioned healing, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Is it always a gift to you, or is it like, oh, I have this thing I have to do?
Never, never. It gives me strength. What it does is if I do any of these things, it takes a lot out of me, but spiritually it builds me, and I know it was a gift, and therefore I look at it as such.
I was just curious how your nephew died.
My brother was the world's greatest trapeze artist. He was the only one in the world that could do a 3.5. His son, my brother told him, you can't come out here until your schoolwork gets good. Well, he became student of the year, so he went out there. And he went with my parents. My parents went to see her cousin that lived over in Europe. And my brother, he has a motorhome, big horsey thing. And they add another trailer in there, but it was warmed by propane. And the wind had switched the propane, and it smothered him. He died in his sleep.
I don't know where I found the courage to grab the mic, but these gifts that you have now, a lot of people say that those kind of gifts, psychic, being able to communicate with the dead, are evil. And I wondered how you got past that, how you were able to use these gifts, even though, you know, there's so many people that say they're of the devil or evil.
Well, like my mother said, well, you know, I used to think when she told me that it was evil. And therefore, I clammed up all that I had, all that I knew, and kept it to myself. And I'm seeing shrinks, and I'm taking pills. When I came to IONS, I realized that these were gifts, and I wasn't the only one. That there are a lot of us out there that have these gifts in different gifts. I may have some type of gift, and other people have a different type of gift. But I learned that this was nothing to be ashamed of. I feel like it's a blessing to me now that I have this. And I do try to help people in any way I can. Does that answer?
Do you sit down with people and talk with them and stuff?
I stroke their auras, and that seems to be a healing method. Are you in pain? I'm sorry.
She lost her son recently.
Oh.
Now, these gifts, is it okay if you have them to help others, or is that against God's will?
No, it's like you have King of the Mountain, okay, and he's got to send out soldiers to help. And some of us,
We are their helpers. Can't guarantee that I can heal, but I do the best I can.
Thank you.
Along that same line, the gift of healing is an incredibly enviable gift. I was wondering if this is universal or selective. In other words, can you heal anybody you want to, or just family members, or just how do you find that working for you?
I do it to anyone as long as I can feel a good spirit with them. If they are there for curiosity, I won't. If they're there because they need help, then I do the best I can.
You mentioned that you had an evil spirit come to you. What, in your opinion, was this spirit entity? What did this entity want, or what was it attempting to do?
I think he was attempting to take my life. That's what I felt like. I knew as I laid there, I felt pressure on me that was going to take my life, and it had no form. It looked like little black dots in the air. It had no form. And the pressure, and I just prayed. I said, Heavenly Father, take this thing away from me. And he can't stand the word of the Lord. And he was gone. But I really thought I was going to die.
Is there any dimension or a portion of that gift that you have to read auras that you can detect or sense the intent of the heart, the goodness of the person,
yeah,
or the evil of the person? I mean,
yeah. I've seen a person had a black aura.
Most, that would be an exception, I would think, I would hope.
Yeah. Okay. I stayed away from
you.
As
you're looking at me, is that what you're saying?
Oh, your face is so cute. I can't see your aura.
I'm hiding from you. No. No, I just did. To be able to detect, not only see their aura, but their basic goodness, their heart, you know, whether they're well-intentioned.
In fact, sometimes just looking at a person, you can tell, or touching a person.
I had a question about whether you were a Mormon before you drowned or not, and then you mentioned some works within the LDS faith, and what's your take on that? Do you have to be LDS?
Have this gift?
Well, no, just, you know, you came back from this special place,
mm-hmm,
and I want to know what's...
I was still determining whether I was going to be, you know, stay Catholic, because I was baptized Catholic, or go this other way. And I really didn't make that decision till way after I drowned.
Okay, so you saw different faiths in heaven, different people of different faiths? And
religion. No, the only person that I saw was God the Father, and... really surprised that I was that, I wouldn't say lucky, but that I would be that honored, even hear his voice, let alone see him. And by the way, he has white hair to hear. He's a tall man, broad shoulders, and his eyes were a blue or a green.
One more question.
Yeah.
I've read books on near-death experiences, and people usually come back with a message or some kind of a change in their life. What would you say the message is for us? How should we live our lives?
Love one another. Forgive. There are the words in the Bible. Don't judge. Big one. Don't judge. And serve others.
Did your family ever come around, and are they supportive of your experience now?
My family? Well, my mother and father passed away. My mother did believe in me when I told her that my nephew work wasn't done, and then she found it, and she realized then that I wasn't a nutso weirdo.
So have you ever helped, like, finding lost people that have been, you know, kidnapped or anything like that?
It's another thing I... In high school, I went and I would take objects from a person and I'd tell their future. And I knew one of the high school girls was going to have twins and she was pregnant, but nobody but her girlfriend knew she was pregnant. I saw this one other woman, her name is Pinky, was Pinky. And when I took her article, I saw nothing.
so I knew she was going to die. So when we got laid off, I asked, well, where's Pinky? She died in a car crash. So I.
So after all of your experience and all that you went through, do you think that if a person just lives by love, forgiveness, and service, and those things you mentioned, that's enough to get back to where we're supposed to be going? Or is there a path, that a one and only path to go back?
I think just reading the Ten Commandments, and it says right there, love one another, don't judge. It says God is the only one to judge.
So no particular religion.
He didn't tell me any particular one. I know that the LDS religion fits me in my lifestyle. My other half of the family are all Catholic, and that fits their lifestyle. And I say, good. They found something. They love it. It fits their lifestyle. It fits what they want. And you can't judge any religion. No religion.
I was going to ask you if you think that people that mess around with Ouija boards, is that dangerous?
I think that it might just be power of the individual. Everyone has powers. It's just a matter of using it, your spirit type thing. And I don't know how that thing works. I tried it. Didn't make any sense to me. I can't judge. You have to find out for yourself. Is that right for me? You know, is it a boo-boo? Is it not? That's up to each individual. I can't judge. Only God can. And he's the only, him and Jesus, they're the only ones, from what I understood from my Lord. That's it. They do the judging, not us. We shouldn't.
How did you know that that was Heavenly Father and not the Son? Or was it a mental?
It, you know. It isn't a guessing game up there. You know.
Two questions. How old were you when you drowned?
I was about 10 or 11.
Okay. And we were wondering what your business is now, that you mentioned you started
a
business.
Well, I used to do Reiki in my home. Reiki is a form of healing. I went to school. I didn't want to go for master's because it dealt with the stars and the entities up there. So I stayed away from that. It wasn't my deal. And I had it in my home. And I had people come. And then I was right. I closed up. But I'm going to open it up again. But I'm only going to hospitals. And
when you had that evil influence, the pressure and everything,
mm-hmm.
Was there a particular mood that you may have been in?
I was terrified.
Was you in a sour mood to bring it on?
No, I was asleep. It woke me.
So you didn't do anything to provoke it. It just came to you.
Oh, no.
Now, if I understand right, sometimes when you're having these gifts, that's a lot of information coming into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, can you turn it off and then turn it back on? Because sometimes it's just really overwhelming. Or does the Lord, you know who you're supposed to help, and so you're just moving forward in that direction?
Yeah, sometimes I know. And there has been times when people will, they don't believe. I will ask them, just give me a minute with you. And I have made them feel better.
I think we'll wrap it up here. If anyone else has a question, you're free to come down and see Lucinda and ask her. I'll make one final comment, and that is, I've heard a lot of people talk about their near-death experiences. And one of the things to look for is somebody who is humble enough to say, I don't know, if they're asked a question they really don't know the answer of. And I noticed tonight that Lucinda has done that several times, which I think is neat. There are some people who have had experiences, and you can ask them about what's going on over in Tibet and how the world's problem, and they'll They'll tell you. And you know they're going a little bit beyond the scope of what they really learned in their experience. And Lucinda is honest enough and kind enough and humble enough to just say what she learned and nothing more. Thank you so much, Lucinda, and we appreciate you all coming tonight.
Thank you.